You stand for the reading of our gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they had nothing to say. Then he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table. He told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to the host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated for our meeting. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We watch a lot of baseball in our house. And by that, I mean I watch a lot of baseball in our house. And over the years, I've noticed some major changes in many of the newer ballparks around the league, particularly the seating behind home plate. Newer stadiums have built their seating that puts spectators practically right at the field level behind the plate. The stadium in Texas even has suites behind the umpire where people can sit at tables and watch the game, and they're almost eye level with the field. The way the camera angle on most broadcasts show from behind the pitcher, you can see up about 10 rows into those seats. Now, those seats behind home plate are very expensive, and on just a random Tuesday or Wednesday, they are usually about half full, and it never fails. Somewhere around the fifth or the sixth inning, you will see a person or a couple coming down the stairs, looking around, and then grabbing one of those empty seats. Well, security and the ushers are pretty tight in that part of the parts of the stadiums, and it seems like these people almost always get caught. Ushers asking for ticket stubs and the people looking around like, "Oh, who, us?" It may be a 3-2 pitch in the bottom of the seventh inning with a runner on third base, but I don't care. I always enjoy watching that walk of shame back up the aisle by those people because they don't belong. Jesus, in our gospel reading for this morning, tells a very first century version of this story. And it's part of a large, wide-ranging teaching on self-exaltation and humiliation. Clearly, Jesus would say that we should practice humble service rather than exalting ourselves. It's just really a timeless concept. And in it, we learn our place of humility and of compassion. The scene for our reading is a dinner party at a Pharisee's house. Jesus has been invited not to be honored. He's been invited to be watched, meaning they're going to try to trap Jesus into breaking the law. There is another guest. It's a man with dropsy. Now, dropsy is not what it sounds like. The word is simply transliterated into English. So if you say it in the Greek, it sounds like dropsy. It's a medical term that we call today edema. The poor man was literally puffed up with water retention. It's a condition that's terribly painful, and he and everyone else was well aware of this awful disfigurement that it causes. This man knew his place as a pitiful sufferer, but he seems to be the only one. Remember, the Pharisees are watching Jesus closely, waiting to see if he will heal the man on the Sabbath day. They have set a trap, and in it, they expose that they too are puffed up with pride and disfigured by their own sin. But Jesus puts them in their rightful place. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, and Jesus heals the man and then sends him away. If any one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out? The Pharisees had remained silent before, and now they are unable to argue with Jesus' loving logic. They could not reply, and their silence confirmed their utter humiliation. We have been in the place of the man with dropsy, puffed up and distorted by sin. Often it's the sin of pride that gets us, often like the Pharisees. And we Christians are often mocked for our faith. Just look at the response by the news media and the politicians to that awful shooting in Minneapolis this week. When Christians call for prayers for the families of the victims, their response was pure venom toward Christians, deriding both prayers and the need and effectiveness of them. But we, like the suffering man in our text, are welcomed by Jesus, and we are made whole again. Jesus does not wait for the Pharisees' approval to heal the man. He simply does it. Jesus does not turn away from the distortion of our sin. Rather, he comes to take a hold of us, and he forgives us. So then, by faith, our place is the lowest, so that we may be exalted by Jesus. And to make this point, one that Solomon made in our reading from Proverbs about places of honor, Jesus uses the common wedding feast to make a point. We've all been to wedding receptions. I know you have. And many times there is a table at the front of the reception hall that is reserved for the bride and groom and wedding party. Everyone knows that you don't go up there and sit at that table as a regular guest. People would be shocked to see that. And you would be told to get up and go somewhere else toward the back. Like the baseball fans, it would be a shameful, humiliating walk back through the other guests. Jesus says, take a lower seat, so that when the host arrives, he will say, friend, move up here to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of your fellow guests. So it makes sense. Take a lower place. It's just plain smart, but there is a catch to it. You can't take a lower place as a strategy to gain honor or to get a higher seat. If you do this, it's just a clever way of manipulating people while engaging in this social climbing. It becomes a calculation. Taking a lower seat to avoid embarrassment, maybe, or taking a lower seat to gain honor in both, and both of them are self-serving. But let's be honest here. serving myself, is the only reason I, by my very nature, would take the lowest place, because I'm playing it smart, because it's all for me. The sinful nature will always choose what's best for the self. So in itself, none of our actions are selfless. No person acts purely out of selfish love, except for Jesus. He set aside all his glory and might, and he took the lowest place, the place on the cross. He did it for one reason, to take hold of us and to heal us from our disfiguring, puffed-up sin. In his wounds, we are healed. In his death, we are forgiven. In his humiliation, we are exalted. For those who know their place, that means for those who confess their sin, acknowledge that they are powerless to do anything about it in and of themselves, they know they belong in the lowest place, like the man with dropsy. And it is they that Jesus calls to. Friend, move up higher. Remember when Jesus was in the temple and he and his disciples were watching the Pharisee pray in front of the group loudly. And then there was the tax collector in the back, bowed down to the floor. And Jesus said, only one of them went home justified. Because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now we know not to take the highest place at a wedding reception. That's just being socially brain dead or something. But there's more going on here. And Jesus points out that it has to do with people who can help you. That's what the dinner party is all about. Jesus says that we also do it all the time also. Suppose you have a big Labor Day barbecue planned for tomorrow, and you look at your guest list and you read your boss, the power couple from the club, and the neighbor that just moved in the million-dollar house across the street, and so on and so on. But notice we never end up on those lists, do we? Feeling like D-listers for sure. And it's not just party lists that can do it to us. It can be our life struggles, our crosses to bear, so to speak, the slow, inevitable loss of health, financial straits, and God's ever-present law condemning us for sin. We quickly learn that our place is among the poor, the crippled, the blind, and there's no argument about it. You see, these are the ones that Jesus invites to the banquet. He is the one who exalts the humble. And in that invitation, Jesus is the one who serves us, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, at his eternal feast. And as we share in his body and blood in the bread and wine this morning, we have a foretaste of that feast that lasts for eternity. In Jesus, then, we are A-listers. We are honored guests. We can't climb any higher. So then we humbly bow to serve others, to love our neighbors as ourselves. We don't love that we might receive something from them. What more could we receive than what we already have from Jesus? No, we love our neighbor for the sake of the neighbor. We love because he first loved us. And that's the freedom that we find in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.